Welcome to BMP Radio. My name is Brian Pickowitz, and I am your host. The goal of this podcast is to connect you with individuals from the fields of fitness and lifestyle as they share their stories to ignite the fire within you. I want to thank you for tuning in as we inspire you to be a light and believe in more. What is going on, guys? Welcome to BMP Radio. I am your host, Brian Pickowitz, and I want to welcome you to the show. So on today's episode, we have a very special guest, and that is Katarina Barris. So Coach Kat, as she goes through on Instagram, is one of the most fundamentally sound figures that I have ever met in the fitness industry. And what I mean by that is she is truly the jack of all trades when it comes to fitness, dieting, and lifestyle. And that's something that we really dive into on this episode of the podcast. We talk about how it is that you modify your training when you're trying to adjust to the things that you want to do with your lifestyle and the things you want to get out of your training. How to really become a better athlete when it comes to looking at your body and really how to get started on a journey. And Kat has a tremendous amount of accolades on her own. She is a nationally qualified figure competitor in the NPC. She's competed in several OCB contests on her own. She's always prepped herself. And at the same time, she is a nationally qualified power lifter that can squat over 325 pounds. She can deadlift over 325 pounds. And she can bench over 220 pounds. So she's right on the precipice of that 1,000-pound club. But one of the things that we were talking about on this episode, and one of the things that she really tried to portray to me, and I think is evident through the content that she puts out, is that she really has a knack for helping young professional women or just professional people in general try to embolden themselves through fitness, try to better their lives by becoming their best self. And that was really one of the things that I wanted to share on this podcast. When I was talking to her on this after the actual show was done, she was talking to me about the most important thing for her is her clients. You know, she can deadlift this much, she can bench this much, she's nationally qualified, but the thing that really makes her the most fulfilled to seeing her clients and their accolades. She said that every client that she's ever prepped for a contest has always finished in the top five of their contest. She's actually prepped some very significant people in the fitness industry, namely the bodybuilding.com athlete Courtney Gardner, who actually entered the bodybuilding.com sports model search and became an athlete through that. So Kat has been really everywhere as far as her training goes. And that's something that we dive into here, but we also try to break down the expansion of yourself. So talking about spending time in Italy, we talk about the glory of travel and really trying to become mindful of where you're at so you can keep building for yourself. So this is a really, I think, one of the better episodes that we've put together. Kat is someone who will not shy away from being herself, which I think is something that is very seldom seen, especially in the fitness industry and especially through social media figures. So if you want to have someone who is, quite frankly, themselves all the time, this is the episode for you, and she is a perfect light for you. Her Instagram is at Coach Kat. You can find her on Facebook at Katarina Barris, and I'll make sure that is in the show notes too. And this is something that I think that if you are in the New Hampshire area, if you are looking for a great online coach, she would be the perfect fit for you. If you are looking for someone who can really access whatever you're looking for, embolden you, and get you to believe that you should choose confidence over beauty. So thank you guys for tuning in. If you could, please leave us a review and rank us and rate us on iTunes so that we can get this message spread to as many people. Make sure to follow us at Instagram at BMP Radio. And above all else, thank you for tuning in. I encourage you to keep being a light, to inspire others to believe in more. And I will let you enjoy the show. Thank you, Katarina. I want to welcome you to the show.
Cool. Awesome to be here. I'm super beyond excited.
I'm excited too. I think, like, obviously you and I have had some interactions and we know each other from when I was living in Manchester, but the way that I see your content, the way that I see you is
it's really someone who is the jack of all trades when it comes to fitness. You're a power lifter, you've competed in bodybuilding contests, you work with transformation clients. But my first question is, how would you define yourself as a coach?
Well, I think that's kind of evolved over the past few years, because I was very into bodybuilding and then I was very into Olympic lifting. And honestly, what I've narrowed it down to is really just awareness and mindfulness coaching, and having that training as almost a side product of that, because if you can't conquer your mind, you can't really conquer much else. So, and at the end of the day, like, for people to be successful, they have to be somewhat comfortable. And that's why I am a jack of all trades, because, you know, if someone wants to hike or they want to do yoga or they want to do bodybuilding or powerlifting, that's all great because it's what they enjoy. But again, that mindfulness piece is something that they all share. So being able to tailor to each one within the actual fitness aspect of it, but also centering around that mindfulness piece as well. So that's really what I try to coin myself as, is more mindfulness and awareness coaching.
I love that. Well, my question is, how did you discover all these different facets of passion for fitness? Because I feel like a lot of times it's very easy for people to be singular in their focus. Like, you have most people who just want to do powerlifting, they want to do bodybuilding. When did you start becoming experimental with your own fitness?
Oh, so that really comes from more of the rebellious side of myself as an individual. I do not like being put in a box. I don't like people telling me, well, you're this or you're that or whatever it is. I don't like it when people put a label on me. So I think that's what allowed me to be more experimental with my training. And those things actually happened pretty naturally. I grew up as a equestrian show jumper, as well as I did self-defense when I was younger. And how I got into fitness itself was I wanted to have training for my riding, because my plan when I was like 10 to 15 was I was going to be a professional horseback rider. And then I discovered I didn't like the community there. So I was like, nah, screw that. And then it ended up going into bodybuilding because someone told me I wouldn't do a show. And I said, well, screw you, I'm definitely going to go and do one. I did that. And then a whole lot of things happened, and I had to get the CEU for my certification. And the last thing that was available was an Olympic weightlifting certification. That's where I met one of my coaches / bosses of 2 years, and he trained me real well, and he got me to nationals for that. And then from there, just really it kept expanding, because I like knowing everything. I don't like being left in the dark. So the more, and what I figured is the more I knew, the more I could help other people. So it came from being A, rebellious, and then B, the need to help others. Cause if I didn't know something, I would go find out about it, because I wanted to help that person because I knew I cared the most about whoever was sitting in front of me, and I would be the best at taking care of them. I just had to know the fundamentals of how to take care of them.
That's amazing. And I feel like that is something that's lacking a lot of times in fitness. Most people, they shuffle their feet, if that makes sense. It's like the one dimensional trainer who is just doing one thing, which it's great to go deep on things. But I feel like at the same time, to be able to work with everyone is a strength of mind rather than anything else. Within that, like, you know, obviously being that you do work with different forms of clients and so on, what are some practical things that you feel like when you bring on a new client, let's say some of the biggest struggles that they might have, and how do you get them through that struggle?
Are we talking about specific struggles?
Maybe I can rephrase that. What would you say is the biggest struggle that you do find people have when they first get started? And what is a practical piece of advice for getting through that?
I'd say people have a problem with patience. Honestly, that's like a fundamental, I guess, mental aspect, is they're just not patient enough, or they truly hate where they're at. But what people don't do as a whole in their life is they don't understand how important and wonderful it is that they even decide to take that first step. So I don't think people give themselves enough kudos. And that's really important because that's what keeps you coming back and that's what keeps you consistent. People don't understand that when they look at me, this is about 10 years of consistency. It's not necessarily beating myself in the gym for 5 hours a day. It's literally just showing up, you know, the 5 days a week or however many times. And that up and down, like, if for people, if they go and then stop and then go and stop, like, you can't do that. The more consistent you are, the better. And I think that lack of kudos is what keeps people away from their training. So I think that's really it. They want to be somewhere and they're not there yet, but they're on the path to that. And again, they're not giving themselves like enough of a pat on the back so that way they continue going on. I believe in people reveling over their successes a lot more than saying, wow, I suck at this and blah, 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 because society, I think, does that too much already. And we're so used to knocking ourselves down versus bringing ourselves up. And that bringing ourselves up is what keeps us coming back. Think about when you're a little kid, like you don't do things that you don't like, you do things that you do like, and then you get better at it because you do like it. So if you keep thinking about the positive things when you're with a coach, you know, and like, hey, I am making progress, so on and so forth, that's what's able for you to trust that process. And at the end of, you know, the 3 months, whenever you look back on those progress pictures, you're like, hey, look at me go. I kick ass. So I guess hopefully that answers your question a little bit more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that patience, but more importantly, having some sustainable approach, meaning that you have some way of seeing your progress, I think makes a massive amount of difference. And seeing that come together over time. I know we're jumping around a little bit, but I want to dive back into this because I feel like it's synonymous with who I think you are. How do you feel, like, when do you shift between your training? So obviously, when we first met, you were focused more on powerlifting, and then you went and did a figure contest, I believe. It was figure?
Yeah, yep. So I went from Olympic lifting to a figure show. You got it.
And so how do you, as your own being, how do you focus on what you want to train like? Like, you know, when does that shift happen? And what are the things that you're kind of saying to yourself when you're like, you know, I kind of want to focus on this now? Or is it just a feeling?
So it's funny because with that figure competition, I hadn't done one in 4 years. And the reason for that was I wanted to make sure that I was so mentally stable that when I got out of my prep, I was going to be okay and able to love myself, because my first year of showing back when I was like 19 to 20, I did 5 shows in 1 year, and I had, for my first show, my coach dumped me because his wife, had a problem with me, and she didn't want him to coach me to beat her. So okay. That was weird. So I coached myself for that one, and I ended up winning that one. I did a few other ones. I had really bad coaches, and it just had some severe metabolic damage. And by the end of it, my body was so burnt out that I just gained 30 pounds in like 2 weeks, which was terrible. And I hated what I looked like, and I would pretty much cry every single day, and it was terrible. So I always knew I wanted to get back into showing. And I knew I would not allow myself to do that until I knew I'd be able to come out of that still loving what I looked like. So for that decision, that was definitely more of a feeling, because I had wanted to do one the year prior, but I was like, you know what? I don't feel mentally stable enough for that. So I decided not to do it. And this year I decided, like, you know what, I've taken the time. I did my 2 years of Olympic lifting straight through. I'm stronger now physically, mentally, like this is absolutely what I want to do. And I want to prove to myself that I can do this again and I can do very well, and that I will be mentally okay with myself, happy, and still love what I look like during the process and after the process. So that was the decision-making process behind that.
And so as far as your current training, are you focused more on like powerlifting? Are you focused more on like more bodybuilding style, or is it kind of shifting to something else?
Well, it's funny because this is like the first time in a very long time I don't necessarily have a direction, because I'm focused far more on building my business. So it's really more about how much of a hybrid athlete can I be right now. So it's having like a week of doing more of that strength building and another week of aesthetics and cardio. So more like Metcons and things like that. I'm also, because of my background in self-defense, I do a lot of boxing and kickboxing and things like that. So right now it's just more about being a hybrid athlete and enjoying what I'm doing while also building my business so I can help others more effectively.
Yeah. And I can understand that. For me, after my last contest, I was very disillusioned with bodybuilding. And that was like, this isn't what I'm doing at all. Like, this isn't what I want in my life. It was just something I had been kind of caught in, if that makes sense. Cause I think that it's easy to get caught in thinking you have to compete in order to do something because everyone else is competing around you.
Right.
And about, like I said, eight months ago now, I was like, I'm never going to do this again. And it's been all focused on business, and it's been all focused on the actual things I feel like I can give to people. And so it's kind of like you ebb and flow with your training. Like you try to, I've really experienced like trying to figure out what I like to do more rather than just focusing on like powerlifting or bodybuilding, even though those are still the chief focuses. Is that kind of where you're at? Or is it kind of like, do you have like a specific target that you're still kind of focusing on, but it just kind of shifts?
No, I think I'm definitely where you're at right now. And the thing is, that's the whole point behind life and training is that ebb and flow. And it's funny because bodybuilders always just bodybuild. And I feel as though they don't treat it almost like a sport where it's seasonal, where you have that strength building season and you have your bodybuilding season. And like, you know, Olympic athletes, they always take time off. Like they might take anywhere between 3, 6, and 12 months off completely from the gym because you need that mental break in order for you to have that longevity within that sport. And I think having that ebb and flow of like, you know what, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to do what I want to do today. And then when you really have that goal in mind, like, you know what, I'm going to go back into a show. I'm going to go compete in Olympic lifting again. You are 110% in it versus trying to stay 100% in it for 2-3 years straight. Like, I just don't think that's possible. So having that ebb and flow, I think is better. And right now, I guess where you and I are both at, where it's like, you know what, I'm gonna do what I want to do today. I'm gonna feel good. I might put some strength building in there. I might put some bodybuilding stuff in there. I might just do something completely different. I think that's necessary in everybody's training at some point in time.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings me to the next point. And I just think this is really interesting. So being more of a mindful and a mindset coach, what do you feel like are some practical steps that people need to take when they're starting to feel burnout? Or what have you done in the past to help yourself with mental fatigue in the gym?
So first off, it's about being aware that it's happening, because there are days when you're at the gym where you don't want to be there because you're being lazy. And you're like, nah, I want to watch movies or something. And then there are other days where you truly feel tired, or you're just not happy doing that type of training. In which case, I have been lucky where when I have noticed that that's happening, other opportunity has popped up, or I've just noticed those opportunities. So for the Olympic lifting, I was like, you know what? Absolutely. I'm going to completely dump my bodybuilding to the side just for a second. And I'm going to go full throttle with this. And I think that's the biggest thing is when you finally make that distinction of you're like, you know what? I am burnt out. Then you actively search for something else. If there's something like, hey, I've always wanted to try this, then you go and you do it full out. And you don't have any reservations. You don't have any fear about that. But definitely for the mindfulness aspect is the biggest thing is just recognizing that it is happening. Like, you know what, this isn't making me happy right now and I need to go do something else, and not allowing that fear of like, well, if I'm not in my same routine, like I'm going to lose my body composition or my fat percentage is going to go up or whatever it is. Allow that to just release from your brain and take that leap into trying something new because you may really love it. And also for me, because I'm a very logical person at the same time, anytime you do something completely new, like a newer activity, it actually burns more calories and you build more muscle that way. So if you need to justify it somehow in your head, that's how you justify it.
I really love that. Especially the fact that it's like it's weird that in fitness, people feel like they can't go back.
Right.
Like, yeah. I feel like they have to be one way. And if they change that path, then they can't go back to it.
You right. find that's- go ahead.
Oh, do you find that's the case?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think people are, like, when they finally find the thing that works for them, they're so afraid of doing something else because they don't want to go back to before they found what worked for them. When in reality, that's more of a trust issue with yourself of, hey, if I notice that my body composition or my feelings are not going in the direction that I want, like, I can always go back. But yeah, that happens pretty frequently, which is weird because the fitness industry is all about kind of tailoring to yourself and like taking those leaps. And yet once we find our routine, we can't take any more leaps, which is so funny. But I find that's very, very popular, especially for active bodybuilders and active competitors. They're just so fearful of stepping outside of that uncomfortable comfort zone. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, everyone talks about having, oh, you need to get out of your comfort zone. But they just work themselves right back into a comfort zone. It's like,
yeah,
I had a moment myself, like, I think this is probably a year ago, where Lindsay and I, we got out of the gym and then we went out for like a date or whatever. And we were both sitting there and they didn't have like anything that was like a high carb, high protein option. It was all like just regular like breakfast food. And like both of us looked at each other like, oh, well, this isn't like all carbs and protein, which for those of you who don't know, like the idea is that you want to have carbs and protein after you work out because that helps with recovery in a sense. But I was kind of like, that's so stupid. Like, why am I even thinking this way? Like, this is not, it's not having one breakfast sandwich or having two breakfast sandwiches and a bowl of like, I don't know, it was like some fruit smoothie thing. It's not going to deter me from making progress.
Right. Yeah.
And it's so weird that so many things in the fitness industry are so narrow in that scope.
Do you think
that's the case?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, I believe you do the flexible dieting as well, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny how that's the whole point behind it, is to have flexibility within structure. But if you don't have it kind of your way, you're just so like, oh my God, like it's not my way. So when we lose that type of flexible control and I don't know, like you just don't have those options that you're expecting, it's kind of like, well, wait a second, what am I supposed to do when that's the whole point behind it? So I just think it's kind of ironic, like the whole point of exercise and health, fitness and tracking macros and things like that is to have that type of flexibility to actually enjoy your life. And once we get there, we're like, oh my God, what is this? Why? No, I'm not supposed to do this. So go ahead.
Well, I'd say off of that, what kind of diets have you followed in the past? What do you feel like is something that you typically prescribe to and that you feel like works for you and your clients? Or is it more, it's obviously catered to them, but what do you feel like is like the thing you prefer over everything else?
So absolutely, hands down, it's always going to be flexible dieting for me. Because my first year of bodybuilding, it was old school bodybuilding. It was you eat this, 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 and this times, and you don't get to differentiate from any of that. And I still swear to this day, if someone ever puts a plate of tilapia in front of me, I will pick it up and throw it across the room at the wall. I refuse to have it. I'm just so scarred by it. And I believe that, you know, and this is how I explain to my clients, flexible dieting is having flexibility within structure, having that outline, being able to fill things in and out. So I like to have example meals for people like, hey, this is a general gist of what you want to be eating around this spacing, around this time zone. But you can flip things in and out all you want. Like if you normally have Ezekiel bread with your eggs in the morning, like, and all of a sudden you want waffles instead, by all means, go ahead, do it. I don't care. It's not my day. It's not what I like, you know, but if you want it, by all means, have it. And I think people being allowed to eat things, eating that variety of food is what makes them stick to things. And I'm like, you know what? It's all about small tweaks on what you do on your day-to-day basis already. I believe the smallest tweaks make the biggest changes. And that's how I center my coaching. And that's how it's more individualized because I really like to talk to them about what they do and then adjust from there.
Absolutely. Well, and within that, do you find that do you find that there are certain practices that people think are very common? Like, what is the most overused term or thing that people say to you that they think that they have to give up that is a hoax when it comes to dieting? Like a misconception.
I just think whenever people carbs, honestly, I think that's the biggest thing I get. Like, so I'm not going to have any carbs, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I love carbs. And I try to just explain to them, it's all about ratios. I'm like, you still have to live your life. You still have to feel your life. And I think it's very classic, especially for women, to just automatically get rid of all and any carbs. And I'm like, okay, so what happens after that? No one ever thinks about after their quote unquote diet. Because that's how they treat it, is a diet versus like a lifestyle change. So I think the carb thing is the biggest thing. And I'm like, no, we're going to keep those in there as well as eating more. I like 90% of people who I encounter do not eat enough. And when I tell them to eat more, they're like, what? No. And I'm like, I promise you, I absolutely 110% promise, if you start eating more than what you're eating now, you're going to start losing that fat. And they don't believe me. And then in 2 weeks, they're like, wow, this is amazing. I'm like, I know.
So. I know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I also think that people don't understand what carbs actually are. Like, they're like, oh, that means I can't have like pizza. It's like pizza has more fat than carbs. Like, so
oh, yeah.
No, you can't eat them both. Like,
right. Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
What, if you were in a position to work with a client that could only do, let's say, three things in the gym, they only had enough time to do three exercises and that was all they had, what are the three exercises you would have them do and why?
That is an amazing question. I would say squats for sure, lat pull downs, and a reverse hyperextension. Okay. So squats, because I just love squats and it's a total body movement. You have to use your core. You have to use your shoulders, everything. Like, it really is total body, everything, as long as you do it right. Lat pull downs, because too many people have tight traps and they're just hunched forward or whatever it is. And that helps build a strong back as well as a nice looking back. And a lot of people don't do a lot of that movement from up to down. So I think incorporating movements that we don't do on a day-to-day basis to help compensate that. So instead of always going forward, now we're actually pulling those shoulder blades back and down, and that's going to help give you better posture, correct those imbalances, things like that. And then a reverse hyper, because so many people have a weak glutes and then a weak lower back. And that's the number one best thing to do for that. And the reason why I don't put any like core in there is, again, because you have the squat in there, which is going to help that. I might interchange a squat with a deadlift instead, but for the most part, I want at least one of those bigger movements in the front, definitely that lat pull down and the reverse hyper, to build those strong glutes and low back. Because without that, like, everything just falls to shit. And I know that most, because my back got screwed up a few years back. And without that reverse hyper, I wouldn't be able to do all my big major lifts safely.
Those are excellent. And I feel like it's on the list too. Like, if you were to have the deadlift, then the reverse hyper would kind of become something else. Like,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, technically I would probably just do like a clean and jerk and then have the lat pull down reverse hyper, but I don't think most people know how to do a clean and jerk. So I was like, nah, I'll pick these ones instead.
Yeah. That's a little bit more advanced. Yeah. So I know, like, you know, obviously we're kind of jumping around, but based off of everything that you kind of talk about, like, obviously I feel like you're the best fit for someone who needs, you're the best fit for someone who's really looking to expand themselves and become what they want in fitness, whatever that is, whatever it's like, boxing, strength training, bodybuilding, like, you can help anyone. But who do you want to resonate with your message? Who is it that you're trying to reach, and who is the person that you would love to work with the most?
So the people that I love to work with most are people who are already go-getters in the rest of their life. You know, people who are like high-end sales, or mainly people who are just so busy with their lives that they can't afford the time to think about, you know, I have to figure out what I'm supposed to do in the gym, or figure out what I'm supposed to eat, or figure out all these fast meals. Like, they literally do not have the time to spend, but they're willing to invest in someone else who cares enough about them to tailor a program to them. Because if they're so go-getting in their life and they're so up-leveling their performance everywhere else that they want their body and their training to match that, that's where I come in, where I'm able to match that, you know, very disciplined, go-getting lifestyle that they already have just in the gym as well, to really make them feel like they have that total balance in their life. And as well as someone who is going to really take care of that mindfulness part and that awareness, because people who are always working so fast paced never take enough time for themselves. So if you're given like small things to think about throughout the week, then you're going to just become more aware of how you're feeling, how your thoughts are, how your training is going. Like, just those little sparks are enough to transform your life. And that's what I do, is I just implement those little sparks into your training program, into your nutrition, to think about during the week. That way it's not just your body that's transforming, but your mind as well, which again will transform the rest of your life and really up level your entire life as a whole. So people who are already go-getters that just want that next level up in their training and nutrition.
I love it. And I wanted to kind of skip into something that has nothing to do with fitness. And I want to talk about Italy. I know that you spent some time in Italy. How long did you actually spend? Was it a month?
I lived there for 3 months.
Okay. And what was that experience like? Was that the first time you'd ever been out of the country like that? Or was that something that you'd done in the past?
I don't know. I'm a big traveler. So I actually lived in Australia a few years back for 3 months, and I went to Australia and New Zealand. And then I have family over in Italy, and I decided I wanted to go there. So Italy is a wonderful place. It is beautiful. The food is amazing, which is also kind of funny because I cannot have gluten nor dairy. I'm intolerant to both, Okay. Which was terrible because I tried the pasta over there because I'm like, oh, it's going to be different. And it was not different. I was on the couch in pain for 3 hours. But anyway, that's a different story. So the views are breathtaking. Again, the food is to die for. But in terms of the actual fitness industry there, it was ratchet. Because I'm pretty a jacked human to begin with, but you know, here in the US I have women that can compete with me, and you know, I can find females who are as strong as me or whatever it is. I didn't like being the strongest person in the gym, nor the biggest person, and that was between men and women. So the fitness industry is a little behind in that sense, because they just don't put their priority into weightlifting. It's more about going out and living life and enjoying the sun, which is great. Mm-hmm. So that experience was definitely eye-opening. Again, I think it's great to travel there, but am I ever going to live there again? I really, really hope not. You know, the United States, I think, is one of the best places for the fitness industry, bar none, unless you're Olympic weightlifter, in which case you're going to go to like Eastern Europe or something like that. but for the most part, we have the most variety here. We have, I think, the most go-getters. It's become such a community in the fitness industry here within the U.S. that there's really no place I'd rather be. Hopefully that answers your question about Italy.
More than anything, I want to talk about travel, because I feel like that makes such a big difference in your life, especially in the way that you see things. What experiences do you feel like travel has given you, or expansive of like your mental capacity? What do you feel like that actual shift has happened or taken place from travel?
So it's funny because I don't think you realize the shift that happens with your travel until far later, especially because my stints were only in 3 month pieces. So in Australia, I just did a lot of moving there. I wasn't really in one spot. So I got to meet a lot of people, and I'm so used to the gym environment that going out and meeting people who are nowhere really near the gym at all, from different cultures, and seeing where their priorities lie and how they treat health and wellness is really great. And also, I mean, in Australia, I'll tell you about one experience. I met this power lifter and he was a 55-year-old man who still deadlifted 500 for reps. It was incredible. And I got to shadow him for a day and it was amazing. But he really, he, I think, is what sparked the awareness and mindfulness aspect to me, for me, because he, his experience was actually with self-defense and mixed martial arts as well, which then he translated into his lifting, and he would zen out. It's almost like he would meditate before he went and lifted this massive amounts of weight. And it's funny because here in the US with powerlifting, you see all these guys smacking each other across the head and like screaming like, wow, and trying to lift this heavy weight. And this guy, he just very, it was the most peaceful lift I had ever seen, to be honest. It was incredible to watch and easy for him. It was crazy. So being able to see different varieties and different mindsets on how people treat not just fitness and health, but I mean, just life as a whole. Everyone else seems to be far more relaxed than the US, which I think is something really great to take away, is because we are so used to and programmed for success. When in reality, what does that mean? You know, what does that look like? Because I think society puts it as one thing, when in reality, success could be having a small home with, you know, your loved ones and that's it. And that's how other countries treat it, really. And I mean, with Italy, how people interact with each other there was very interesting. It's, I mean, I'm Italian, obviously. And people just scream at each other all the time. And that's the norm. Like, I don't understand this. This seems really violent. but traveling just allows you to see different cultures. And it's more about seeing it and then seeing where you want to be, like liking it or not liking it. That's really what travel means to me, is going, experiencing those cultures full, like within depth, and then deciding, is that where you want to be and are those your people? That's really what traveling does for me, is are those your people? Because the people who are around you are going to form how you think and how you go about your life. So who are the people you want to surround yourself with, and is that the place you want to be? As well as I think it exposes you to energy and feelings and vibes and things like that. It's like, does this place with these people make me feel my best and make me feel like I can reach my truest potential? So getting yourself out of that norm is really great, as well as traveling creates a mindfulness piece of limitlessness. Because for me, when I was in Australia, a 13-hour bus ride was nothing. You know, it got me from point A to point B, and it was an overnight bus ride. And I was like, okay, I got this. While now, if you're here, you're like, oh my God, New Hampshire, like it's a 6-hour bus ride to New York City. Like, is that really that big of a deal? No. So people think traveling is this massive thing. And honestly, it's just buying a ticket, whether it's a plane or a train or whatever, a bus, whatever it is, a car ride. It allows you to unlock those barriers within your brain of, I am stuck here. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts, on top of being exposed to different energies and different feelings with other people, is it creates that limitlessness within your mind and within yourself. So that's what I would say about traveling. And that's why it's amazing. And people should absolutely do that within their life.
What are some of the locations that you would like to travel to now?
Definitely South Africa, Cape Town. It just fascinates me. I love it. I'm absolutely going to go back to New Zealand at one point in time. I haven't explored enough of the US, and I think it's really important to do that, because of all I used to, when I was younger, be like, oh, the US, like whatever, it's not that cool. And it has so much to offer here. So really, like Austin, Texas, Arizona, Colorado, places like that. I definitely love to see. I still have to go to a few places in Europe, like Prague, the Netherlands, things like that. I've already been to Spain, Italy, France, things. And my cousins are in England, so it's not really a big deal, I guess.
It's not really a big deal.
So definitely Africa, for sure. Definitely Southeast Asia. Oh my God. Because I think the culture is so so like dramatically different from the US. I would love to be put in that uncomfortable of a situation because I would love to see how I respond to it. And if I enjoy that much of growth, I guess. I don't even know if I would consider it growth of just being like exposed to things that are completely not me, and being the minority within a country. That would be really cool to witness and experience.
I feel like travel makes the world smaller.
It does. You don't realize it, but the world is a lot smaller of a place than people believe. And I think the more you kind of put travel on a pedestal, the scarier it is. And in reality, it's really not that scary because you have so many people who come up to you who are so friendly and so willing to help and like meet and like learn about who you are. And that's amazing. Is when I was in Australia, we used to have like, I went on like one travel group and it was amazing because people wouldn't remember your name. They would remember where you were from and what you wanted to do with your life. That's what was so cool because it, you know, a name is a name. It's just a label, you know, it's just like a number, but to really remember like where you're from and what you want to do, that was so cool. So to be like, yeah, it's the German guy that wants to go into mechanical engineering, or it's the Scottish girl who wants to go in like podiatry or whatever it is. And it's like, it was very cool to witness why people want to do certain things. So that was a really great experience to kind of see that end of it.
Were you in Australia for like schooling, or was it just like, you know what, I just want to go and live there?
Yeah, so I've never gone or traveled for school.
Okay.
I usually just go and take off because I'm like, you know what, I don't want to be here, and I'm going to go and I'm experience life, and I'm just going to go because people tell me that it's scary and I don't want to be scared, so I'm just going to go. And I did, and it was very, very, very scary. But it's, once you're actually there, you realize it's just one step after another. So I always found it funny because people would always tell me like, wow, you're so brave because you're going alone and things like that. And I'm like, I don't really think so. I think it's just my want for growth was so much higher than my fear. And wanting to experience the world. And actually, I guess it was partly the fear of being average, kind of like Arnold, right? And I kind of hate pulling Arnold quotes because I think everyone does it. You know, his fear of being average made him step out of his comfort zone. And that's what I do. It's like, I want to experience the world. Like if I truly only have one life, then I want to experience absolutely everything in all parts of the world. And the more cultured I am, again, the more I can help people and the more I can understand, because knowledge is power. And that's, you know, I want to have that power to help the world, you know?
So. Absolutely. Well, and I think that, like I said, for me, the traveling aspect of it makes it so much more powerful. And like, you can bring yourself to any situation and be like, okay, like I can do this. And I think that having that freedom of space does really change who you are. My biggest experience is going to Australia. I went to Australia for like three weeks myself. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was after I graduated college, and I was like, you know, I was in this limbo phase of like thinking like, okay, do I want to get a job or do I want to keep building my business? And I was like, after that, I was like, I definitely want to keep doing this because there's an opportunity here for me to be who I want to be rather than just becoming like everyone else. I feel like that's the chief point of fitness, to pull it all together. I feel like fitness opens up your mind and see like, I can become more. And then you kind of bring that person to the next step.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, so the great thing about fitness industry is because you see yourself, your physical body transforming, and that outer strength, I think, allows you to be more internally strong. And that's the beauty behind the fitness industry, not the actual shell that you wear, but what it does for the inside of yourself.
One of the last questions I have that are before we go into like a more of who is Kat.
Oh God.
What practical things do you do to keep yourself mindful? So besides going to the gym, do you have like a morning routine? Do you have like other kind of mindfulness exercises, or are there specific things that you do that help you align when you're feeling like you're not on the right course?
I wish I had a morning routine. Oh my God. My goal this year is to get to the point where I can't have a morning routine, but Currently, I do not, which actually feeds into my target audience because most people don't have the time for a morning routine. But anyway, that's a separate subject. I am a huge writer. I never really discovered this until I was kind of forced to discover it. And writing just absolutely gets out all of my feelings and really puts into perspective and physical words of, hey, this is how you're feeling today, or this is what you noticed, or whatever it is. So writing is a really big part of my mindfulness, my awareness, because it's like I'm just talking to myself. Just like when you talk to your best friend, or, you know, even Lindsay, just be like, I'm venting about life, but now you get to be your own sounding board, and it's a really beautiful thing when it happens. I love having the time to meditate and to visualize, because that helps bring yourself down into a state where, when if you do go writing afterwards, you are so much more calm and open to your own thoughts and feelings. And also, I have a love-hate relationship with reading. I hate how long it takes, but I love it at the same time. My only problem is I'm not very good at reading books straight through. So what I do is I actually take whatever books I'm reading at the time, and I trust the universe to bring me to the right page of where I need for that moment. And then I'll open to a random page. And 99% of the time it is that exact, the first thing I look at is the exact thing that I need, or it's like on the next page over. And how I actually discovered that was reading the book, The Secret, because I had already read it through one time a long time ago. I was like, you know what? I don't want to read it all the way through. I'm just going to open it to a random page. And I did this actually for 3 days straight. And every single time it opened, it was to the exact like quote that I needed for that day, the exact worry that I was feeling or whatever I was anxious or stressed about. It helped me with that. So I like doing lots of different things, but mainly that kind of opening to a random page, meditating, and then writing afterwards, because that really helps me dive into myself for A, what do I need? B, let me sit in this feeling. And then C, let me write about it and really see what I need to articulate for myself to understand what I'm feeling right now and what I need.
I love it. I love it. It is like you're your own sounding board. And I think that's more important than necessarily getting a sounding board from someone else.
Absolutely. Because only you know what you want and only you know what you're feeling. And that's actually how I coach people in person as well. It's like only you can feel that, you know, only you can feel what's working. And same with your own life. Only you can feel what makes you happy. Only you can feel what sets your soul on fire. And, you know, what better way than to consult with yourself?
I love it. I love it. Now I want to jump into a somewhat lightning round, just getting away from exclusively fitness and talk more about the things that make up you. So my first question is, outside of fitness, what are some of the things that you love to do?
I love horseback riding. And actually I've just recently picked up ice skating, like on hockey skates. I love that. And then when I have time, I just like being upside down. So like forearm stands, headstands, handstands, things like that.
That's a unique one. I've never heard that. I love it. And so what are some books that you would suggest people read? Or if you were to give someone a book, what book would it be?
You Are a Badass. And the reason for that is because it is a light, funny book that has a lot of swears in it, and I'm a huge fan of swears. but it really pulls out that inner power of yourself. It's a light read and it's so much fun to read. And that is a great intro book. So I would definitely start there. If
I had to pick one. What is one of your rules for life? What is the North Star to everything you do?
It would be trust. And that is trusting yourself, your feelings, trusting that what sets your soul on fire is right, and then trusting the universe to guide you towards that. And then also trusting enough to be patient.
I love it. If you were in a position where you had to embody yourself with a slogan, something that was a quote or a saying that everyone could prescribe to you, what would it be?
So, I mean, my own slogan for my business is confidence beyond beauty. but one of my favorite quotes is, chase passion, not success, because success will get jealous and chase you anyway. Always following passion, because that's just what's going to make you happy, and people recognize that the most. But as like a short slogan, it'd be confidence beyond beauty. So
that's all right. it can be a bigger one. There's nothing wrong with it. My last question that I always ask people is, what's one piece of advice you would give yourself, or what's one piece of advice that you would give yourself now, 20 years from now? So looking back in 20 years, what's one piece of advice that you would give yourself in the present for this moment?
I think I just have to continually be patient and trust yourself.
I love it. And yeah. So where can people find you, Kat? What's your website? What are your tags? Where can people reach you to learn more about your story and the things that you excel at?
So you can find me on Instagram. It's My Coach Kat is the Instagram handle. You can find me on Facebook with also My Coach Kat, or my full name, Katarina Bears, because that's where I post all my live videos. I'm currently working on my new website, which will also be My Coach Kat. That's currently my project right now. I'm working with my videographer. We're going to make it look really cool and badass. So I'm super excited about that. That'll be done by the end of the month. But same deal, My Coach Kat. So Instagram and Facebook are going to be your biggest go-tos for saying hey and connecting with me.
Amazing. And I'll make sure that's linked up in the bio, but thank you so much, Kat. This has been amazing. Like I said before, I think that you are a light for so many people, and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. You popped my podcast cherry. So I'm pretty excited about that. I enjoy it. It's tons of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so thank you guys for tuning in. And just a reminder here, you can follow us at BMP Radio on Instagram. But above all else, just want to give you that note to keep being a light and to inspire others to believe more. We'll see you guys. Thank you for tuning into BMP Radio. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And if you like this talk, leave it a review. You can follow us on Instagram at BMP Radio, or my personal account at Brian Pickowitz. That's PickowiCz. Thank you all for tuning in. And just a reminder, continue to be a light and inspire others to believe.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.